Last week I started the recording of our message, and for some reason or another, it switched itself off, so I didn't get to record it last week. But I want to just pick up this morning and bring you the last message in the series that we were looking during that time of 40 days of what on earth are we doing here? And just try to summarize and ask the question, so what? We, in our thinking, as we were looking through that passage, or those different messages, we were asking the question, what on earth are we doing here? And we were reminded of the great questions of life. Why are we alive? Do our lives really matter? And what is our purpose in life? And through those 6 weeks of messages, we discovered some of the purposes of things that we were thinking about. So this morning I want us to just try and summarize that message and then challenge us at the end of this time together to really think about so what. We're reminded in Deuteronomy, remember today what you have learned about the Lord through your experiences with Him. Friend, it doesn't help us just having head knowledge. Head knowledge is one thing. We can fill our brains full of head knowledge. But head knowledge needs to move into our hearts and into our lives. A number of years ago when we were growing up, there was a well-known singer called Amy Grant, and she sang a song called Spiritual Fat Cats. You ever heard that song? That so many Christians are spiritual fat cats. They know everything there is to know about Christianity, but they are not doing anything about it. And friends, while I want us to be spiritual fat cats, I want us to be spiritual fat cats that are ready to go out into this world to catch the rats of this world and change them into people who truly can follow the Lord. What did we learn as we went through those different messages? First of all, what did we learn about God? Well, the first thing we learned about, friends, is that right through those messages we were reminded that it's all about God and not us. This is so important for us to remember, friends. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10 says this, God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children share His glory. And Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says, everything got started in Him and finds its purpose in Him. Friend, now, while there are a lot of people who think that they are the center of the world, the reality is there is only one who can be the center of this world. There can't be anybody else, friends. There can only be one God. It's the one thing I can never understand about Hinduism, where there are many, many, many different gods. How can there be many gods? There is either God or there is not. There can only be one who calls himself God. Everything else, friends, apart from God, is not God. There is only one who is supreme in all things. And we have discovered him in the Bible primarily in the person of Jesus Christ. It's all about God, friends. And if we just grasp that in our own minds, if we just make that the reality of our own lives, a lot of things will be sorted out, won't they? We'll gain a lot of perspective if we just remember it's all about God and not about me. See, the world today, friends, the world today is all about me. People are even, you know, deciding what gender they will be today. They kind of say, well, you know, I'm not a man anymore. I think from this point in time, I'll be a woman. Friends, that's the world in which we're living in. The world in which we're living in, friends, is wanting everything to focus around them. But the message of the 40 days of the purpose-driven life, friends, is to remind us that it's all about God. And friends, the second thing about God is that God is still at work. Let's not lose sight of that. God still does miracles, friends. We're reminded in Psalm 77, you are the God of miracles and wonders. You still demonstrate your awesome power. Friend, God is still at work. He isn't off the throne. God is still doing great things. We need to be reminded of that, friends. While the world around us may kind of discount God, the world around us is trying its everything to try and prove that God doesn't exist. This last week, I don't know if you kind of follow the news, but a satellite was sent into the sky. Did you hear about that? It's on its way to Jupiter. It's going to take 4 years or 8 years to get there. On its way to Jupiter, it's going to travel 8 billion kilometers. That's how long it's going to travel. Although Jupiter is only 4.5 million kilometers away from there, it has to travel so far around to build up enough speed to be able to get up to Jupiter. It's going to take 8 years to get there. You know why? Because they want to try and prove that there may be water on Jupiter. And there may be water on the moons of Jupiter, because Jupiter is surrounded by 100 moons. Because if they can prove that there is water on the moons of Jupiter, friends, then they can say, well, life possibly could exist somewhere else, and we're not the only people who have life on Earth. That's the world in which we're living in, friends. Scientifically, it's a very interesting exercise. But friends, the philosophy behind it all is that God doesn't exist. That we've got to prove God doesn't exist in whatever way possible. But friends, let me remind you, all of the messages we're reminded is that it's all about God. But we also learned lessons about life, about ourselves. What have we learned about ourselves? Friends, the thing we've learned about ourselves through these series of messages that I preached is that our lives is not about our existence here on earth. Our life on earth, friends, is to prepare us for the rest of eternity. And we must understand that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 11 says, God has planted eternity in human hearts. The sad reality, friends, is that everybody knows there is deep within us a vacuum that needs to be filled. There is that part within us that says to us, there must be more than just this life. Because if it's all about just this life, friends, it's a pretty poor existence for a lot of people. You heard James this morning. You know, 40% of people in Burkina Faso aren't sure where their next meal is going to come from. Is that what life's all about? Fighting for survival? Wondering where your next piece of bread is going to come from? Friends, the reality is that from the messages we've learned, friends, we must be reminded that this moment that we have on earth is just a blink. You heard this morning about Pastor Gumenge, great man of God. He was our last president of the Border Baptist Association before we became a network. God used him in a wonderful way. God has been using him in a wonderful way out at Alice. He stood up yesterday morning to preach at a funeral and collapsed, passed away. Friends, we can't guarantee about tomorrow. There's no guarantee at all. Even the man of God who is doing the work of God. Incidentally, it's the second pastor in our region that has passed away in the last 10 days. Pastor Chazbana. Some of you may know him from Elita or from Berlin, the church out there, passed away a week before that. He was also had preached all of Easter weekend, and on was it Monday night? Easter Monday night, he wasn't feeling well. He got out of bed, went to the kitchen to get a glass of water. On his way carrying the glass of water back to the bedroom, he collapsed and passed away. Friends, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. But do we know what tomorrow holds for us? Are we ready to face eternity, friends? We were reminded what our purposes on earth are for. We were put on earth to worship God. We were put on earth to have fellowship with other believers. We were put on earth to become more like Jesus. We were put on earth to serve God. And we were put on earth to tell others about Jesus, friends. But all of that is to prepare us for eternity. Because it's in eternity where we're going to spend the vast majority of our existence. So if it's all about God, and God has put us on this earth to prepare us for eternity, what's the third thing we learned? We learned about, friends, that we need to prepare ourselves for eternity. We do that through growing spiritually. How do we grow spiritually? Well, friends, we grow spiritually by making commitments, by serving God. Listen to what James says. Faith by itself is dead if it is not accompanied by works. Scriptures tell us, friends, that even the demon believes in Jesus. Even the devil believes in Jesus. But is the devil going to heaven? Not a chance. There are many friends who believe in Jesus, but have not put their trust in him and are not serving him, friends. That's the message that we were reminded about, that we're to grow spiritually, and we grow spiritually, friends, as we grow in Christ. You can ask any Bible study leader here or any Sunday school teacher here when they grew the most. I'll tell you what their answer will be. Their answer will be, when I was preparing to teach somebody else. Am I right? Those of you who are Sunday school teachers and Bible study leaders. That's when you grow, friends. When you're preparing to tell somebody else about Jesus, you've got to be one step ahead of where they are. And when you are preparing those messages, you tend to go a little bit deeper than you intend to tell the other people so that they too can grow. You need to make sure that you can answer the questions. And so, friends, we grow when we are learning. We grow when we are teaching. We grow when we are serving. And we also grow through fellowship. We're reminded, as iron sharpens iron, so people improve each other. As we grow as Christians, friends, Patricia and I, over the years, have sat on what we call in the Baptist Union a ministry board. We interview young men who are, or young women who are, preparing themselves for ministry. You know what we find most often? We find most often is those who have been to theological college, who have rubbed shoulders with other theological students, who have debated and have spoken to each other, are much better prepared than those who have studied in correspondence. Because as they are at college, they're debating subjects. And one student will say something, and another student will disagree with him, and another student will give another point of view, and another student will say this. And in the end, they're learning from each other, so that by the time they finish college, friends, they're ready for ministry. And that is what the church is all about, friends. That's why we join Bible study groups, because we learn from each other. That's why I still go to a Bible study group. Because, friends, I can tell you, I don't know everything there is about the Bible. And there's a lot that I can learn from everything, everybody else. Philippians says, keep on doing these things that you have learned and received and heard, and God will be at peace for you, with you. What else have we learned? We've learned about our community, friends. The reality is people are hungry for spiritual truth. One just has to look at the number of different churches there are just here in our little town. Every corner there's a church. Everybody, friends, is looking for spiritual truth. Jesus said, look around you. Vast fields of human souls are ripening all around you. The harvest is ready, friends. We just need to go and do the reaping. We don't have to grow things. We've just got to go and do the reaping. And friends, we can make a difference in this community. We as a church, friends, can be a shining light in this town. The other day, the last Sunday and the Sunday before, as we were leaving, because we're always the last person to leave, there were still a few cars in our parking lot. And Patricia and I wondered where they came from. Well, I've subsequently discovered that they came from members of the Methodist Church who parked in our garage parking area here. And initially, I was quite angry. I thought, what gives them the right? They're Methodists, they should find their own parking. Then I said to Patricia, what a good problem to have in our town, isn't it? That there isn't enough parking for people who want to go to church. Friends, that's what we should be rejoicing on. Shouldn't be angry about the fact that there's not enough parking. We should be rejoicing that there is not enough parking. Friends, we can make a difference in our community. Let us, as a congregation, let us make a difference, friends. You know, being part of this family of Baptists is something we can be really enthusiastic about. Did you know that Baptists are the biggest Protestant denomination in the world? By a long way. The Roman Catholic Church is much bigger than everybody else. But Baptist, friends, internationally, there are many, many Baptists around the world. Maybe not in South Africa, but in other parts of the world, they're strong. So when you go out, Don't go out necessarily as a Baptist. Go out as a Christian first of all. But friends, don't be afraid to be a Baptist, because you follow in a great tradition and we can make a great difference in what we believe. So what? That's the question I started with. So what if we know all this about God? What if we know this about life and about our community and about spiritual growth? What now? Well, that's the message I was trying to illustrate with the children, friends. We've got a message. A wonderful message, friends. It's not sweets for everybody. It's salvation for everybody. That's what we have. Friends, we need to start living what we've learned. Jesus said in John, "Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5, "Live life with a due sense of responsibility, not as those who do not know the meaning of life, but of those who do." And in Philippians, Paul says, "Now that we're on the right track, let's keep on the right track." Friends, we can make a difference. You can make a difference. Every one of us can. We've got a message. We've got a hope in Christ that we can pass along. We can shout from the rooftops, "Jesus has risen," friends. Because no other religion can claim that. No other can say that their God has died and risen for them. Paul writes in 2 Timothy, "Now, I want you to tell you the same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others." As Paul was writing to Timothy, he's saying, pass on the message. Pass on the message. Give it on to the next so that they can teach the next person about Christ. Friends, that's what we need to be doing. That's why we've always held children's ministry in such high regard in this church. Because if we're not investing in the next generation, friends, the church will die for eternity. So how do we end off? Paul writes in Romans 1 verse 8, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for every one of you, because the news of your faith is spreading throughout the whole world." May that be said of us. May that be said of us as a congregation. May we become the kind of congregation like Paul could write about the Romans. May we become the kind of congregation that becomes a world-changing congregation, that makes a difference wherever we go, so that others may say, "That's where I learned about Christianity. That's where I discovered who Christ was for me." So what? Friends, the simple message to "so what" is, let's just do it. That's it. Let's just do the things that we were called to do. Worship, fellowship, discipleship, ministry, evangelism. God is beginning to stir a heart of evangelism in this congregation. There are a few people who have come to us and said, "I've got a real passion to desire to serve the Lord in this place." Friends, I'm praying that God would use us in a mighty way so that we can help people discover the true meaning of their lives. Let's pray together. Lord, Thank you for the difference you've made in our lives. Thank you that you've changed us. You've made us into your family. You've changed us from people without hope into people with purpose. Lord, as we've rediscovered our purpose in the last few weeks, as we've worked through the series of what on earth are we doing here, help us, Lord, not to keep the message to ourselves. It's a wonderful message, Lord. It's a life-changing message. It's an encouraging message. But Lord, help us not to keep it to ourselves, but give us bold spirit and attitude so that we make a difference for you in our community, in our country, and in this world, we pray. For your glory, we ask that. Amen.